Hey everyone, welcome to the With Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. In our show, we share news and our own experiences from working with Microsoft 365 and with a special focus on SharePoint and Teams. WIT stands for Women in Tech, but this podcast is not only for women. It's for anyone who wants to learn about these products and how you can use them as we do daily. We believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Welcome to episode 57. Today is the 2nd of August and I am on vacation, but that doesn't stop me from delivering a new episode. No, I have to be creative even when I am off duty. This episode is a little different as I will tell you what I have been up to this last weekend. Those of you who listen to this podcast knows that I'm a music lover and I have a broad taste in music. I listen to everything from synth, post, EBM, punk and goth to thrash and black metal. This weekend I visited Oslo in Norway for some real music history by going to the legendary record store Helvete, which means hell in English. It was open 1991 by Øystein Euronymous Arset, one of the founders and guitarist of the black metal band Mayhem. And he also had his own record label Death by Silence, which was seen as pretty much the creation of the Norwegian black metal scene. Today, the store is owned by Neseblod Records and it's a great store with so many records, t-shirts and band merch that you want to be there for a week and explore everything. It was almost hard to see what was in there because there was so much stuff everywhere, which was really cool to see. We bought some records and then asked if we could visit the cellar, which is famous for its wall that has the words black metal written on it. So black metal musicians like Emperor, Varg from Bursum and more of these band members used to meet in that cellar and we just had to see it. So walking down the stairs, you are surrounded by thousands of t-shirts, band merch, and your head just goes up and down and you try to take it all in, but it is overwhelming. When we came down in the cellar, we walked into some rooms just to find even more t-shirts and more merch. And we just looked at each other with that small confusion and asked, but where is that black metal wall? And the next thought in panic, what if they have taken it down or like painted over it and just filled this room with a lot of merch instead? When one of the girls from the record store came down and pointed at another door further back in the cellar and we were like, ah, okay, there it is. And then the excitement when entering that room. It was a big moment and I felt the respect for the heritage that we stepped into, which is a true piece of black metal history right there. And unlike other metal genres, black metal is also almost like an ideology. It's about being independent, not needing the group, you know, and also be a little bit outside the society. Something I really can relate to, especially the part of being independent. If you are a metal fan or just into true crime, then you might know that there is a story there that began with a suicide, a wave of church burnings, and ended with two murders. So here is the story in a shorter version. So Euronymous and his band Mayhem was looking for a vocalist, and in 1988 a Swedish guy called Pelle, his real name was Per Yngve Olin, also known as Dead, sent them a demo tape. Pelle had founded the Swedish thrash death metal group Morbid, with which he recorded a demo tape called December Moon. He sent the tape to Mayhem, and according to their bassist Necrobutcher, he also sent a letter detailing his ideas for the future, together with a crucified mouse, which is very morbid indeed. I can't help but laugh when I hear this. This is a black sense of humor that I think is quite funny, but I don't think everyone appreciates or understands it. They might just be disgusted. Anyway, Pelle moved to Oslo in 1988 and became the vocalist of Mayhem. He was known for his morbid personality and obsession with death. People who know him said that he was an introvert and depressed guy, and I learned from a documentary that he had been announced clinically dead when he was younger. In this documentary, his brother Anders Olin told that Pelle was frequently bullied at school. And one day he succumbed to a ruptured spleen, which was a direct result of a severe beating by those bullies. And because of that injury, he had to be rushed to a hospital where he was, for a time, declared clinically dead. That could explain his behavior and fascination for death and the suicidal thoughts he must have had. And it's so cruel to be bullied just for being different, being independent, or just do your own thing and go your own way. And something that is really heartbreaking to think about. Before the Mayhem shows, Pelle used to bury his clothes into the ground so that they could start to rot and get that grave scent. He wore corpse paint on stage, which is when you cover your face with black and white makeup, looking almost like a panda. Once he even asked the band to bury him in the ground because he wanted his skin to become pale. Yeah. During one tour with Mayhem, he found a dead crow and kept it in a plastic bag. And then he carried it around and smelled the bird before going on stage to, quote, sing with the stench of death in the nostrils, end quote. On April 1991, Pelle shot himself in a house shared by the band. He was found by Hieronymus with his wrists and throat slit and a gunshot wound to his forehead. But instead of calling the police, Hieronymus got into his car and drove to the nearest shop and bought a camera with which he then photographed Pelle because he wanted it as a cover for their next album. Hieronymus used Pelle's suicide to foster Mayhem's evil image, and he made necklaces, which he said was made with bits of Pelle's skull, and he gave them to musicians he thought were true or worthy. This is such a sad story, and I feel for Pelle's family who has to see this suicide picture of him all over social media. He left a brief suicide note, which started by saying, quote, excuse the blood, end quote. Hieronymus initially promised to destroy the photos he had taken, but he didn't. Instead, he stored them in an envelope at his record shop, Helvete, and sent one of them to the owner of Warmaster Records, which resulted as a cover art for the album The Dawn of the Black Hearts, which was released in 1995. The cover of Mayhem's Live in Leipzig album contains parts of Pelle's suicide note, which said, quote, I am not a human being. This is just a dream. And soon I will wake. End quote. Another band that hung out at Helvete was Emperor. And their drummer Faust, whose real name is Aiton Bård Guldvik, committed a murder. In 1992, while visiting his family in Lillehammer, he stabbed a man named Magne Andreasen to death. He was walking home from a pub through the Olympic Park, which is a well-known gay cruising spot, when a drunk Magne approached and asked if he wanted to have sex. Faust agreed to follow him to the nearby woods, but there he stabbed Andreasen 37 times. He kicked him in the head repeatedly as he laid on the ground. Faust claimed that he felt no remorse at the time. One of his bandmates said that Faust had been fascinated by serial killers for a long time and wanted to know what it's like to kill a person. Media linked the murder to Satanism and homophobia, but I think his friends described it better. He had an urge to kill someone, and it was an impulsive killing. He got 14 years in prison, but got out after 9. Back to Hieronymus and another well-known person in the black metal world, Varg Vikernes. His one-man band Bursum released 4 albums on Hieronymus' label, and in 1992 Vai joined Mayhem, 1 year after Pelle's suicide and replacing the bassist Necrobutcher, who quit the band after Pelle's suicide. Euronymous took Vai, who was 5 years younger than him, under his wings. However, it has been claimed that their friendship turned into rivalry. Faust has said, quote, "It sounds really silly, but I think there was a little bit of contest between them to see who could be more evil. It created a very difficult situation, especially for Euronymous, who wanted the glamour and the showbiz. With him, there was a lot of smoke, but not so much fire." End quote. So they triggered each other to do evil things, and soon churches started to burn in Norway. At least 8 churches burned down. In January 1993, an article in one of Norway's biggest newspapers, Bergens Tidende, brought the black metal scene into the media spotlight when BT journalists set up a meeting with Vai, who also called himself Count Grishnak. They were to meet him in an apartment and were warned that they would be shot if the police were called. During that interview, Vai and his companions told the journalists that they had burned the churches or knew who had done it, and said that the attacks would continue. They claimed to be devil worshippers and said, quote, "Our intention is to spread fear and evil. That is why we are telling this to Bergens Tidende." End quote. They gave the journalists details about the arsons that hadn't been released to the press, so BT spoke with the police before publishing the article, and they confirmed these details. When the article was published, it was headlined, "We Lit the Fires," and included a photo of Vai, his face mostly hidden, holding 2 large knives. However, by the time the article was printed, Vai had already been arrested. According to Vai, the anonymous interview was planned by himself and Euronymous. The goal, he says, was to scare people, promote black metal, and get more customers for the record store Helvete. Later, they were all released due to lack of evidence. And soon animosity arose between Euronymous and Vai. After the news article was published, Euronymous decided to shut Helvete as it began to draw the attention of the police and media. There was a power struggle between them and also a financial dispute over Burzum Records. Euronymous owed Vai a large sum of royalty payments. And on the night of the 10th of August in 1993, Vai and his friend Snorre drove from Bergen to Euronymous' apartment in Oslo. According to Vai, Euronymous had plotted to stun him with an electroshock weapon, tie him up and torture him to death while videotaping the event. He said that Euronymous planned to use a meeting about an unsigned contract to ambush him. So this is what happened that night as told by Vai. Blackthorn stood in the stairwell smoking while Vai went up to Euronymous' apartment on the 4th floor. Vai said he met Euronymous at the door to hand him a contract. But when he stepped forward and confronted Euronymous, Euronymous panicked and kicked him in the chest. Vai claims that Euronymous ran into the kitchen to fetch a knife. The two got into a struggle and Euronymous ran out of the apartment and down the stairs, and Vai ran after him and stabbed him to death. Euronymous' body was found on the first floor with 23 stab wounds, 2 to the head, 5 to the neck and 16 to the back. Vai claims his final stab to the skull was so powerful that the knife remained stuck in Euronymous' skull. But no physical evidence or bodily injuries support his claim. After the murder, Vai and Blackthorn drove back to Bergen. On the way back, they stopped at a lake where Vai got rid of his bloodstained clothes. Vai was arrested on the 19th of August 1993 in Bergen. The police found 150 kilos of explosive and 3,000 rounds of ammunition in his home. There were some speculations on what he was supposed to blow up with that, but nothing is clear. Vai said he was collecting explosive and ammunition in, quote, order to defend Norway if we were attacked anytime, end quote. In May the following year, in 1994, Vair was sentenced to 21 years in prison, Norway's maximum penalty, for the murder of Euronymous, the arson of three churches, the attempted arson of a fourth church, and for the theft and storage of all that ammunition and explosives. He was released from prison in 2009, as the rules were different back then and you could get released earlier. He had then served 15 years in prison. He now lives in France with his wife and 7 children. This is a fascinating and also very sad story. And these killers are still active musicians with large fan scales. Faust still plays in a band, and Vair published Burzum's albums during his years in prison, and probably lives a quite nice life now in France. So standing there in that cellar, knowing the story and about these guys and that they had been there partying also and creating music history, felt very special and overwhelming. I love that everything is preserved and hope that it will continue to stay in this shape, because it is an important part of black metal history. I will add links to all the references from the story, and if you want to read more about these so-called black metal murders in Norway. Did you think that my podcast just turned into a true crime pod? No, don't worry. Now over to some tech news from the awesome Microsoft world. You are listening to the With Girls podcast. If you like us, we would be so happy if you could give us a 5-star rate in iTunes. It helps us reach more listeners. Thank you for listening. Let's start with the SharePoint news first. So there are a lot of news coming, and here are some of the cool news that you can expect from SharePoint soon, hopefully in the beginning of this autumn. The first one, SharePoint collapsible sections. Yes, this one is popular because I have customers asking for this. You know, when you have a lot of information on a page and you would like to be able to maybe put some of that information into collapsible sections to simply just save space on the page. Those sections have arrived in my tenant at least, but I'm in target release. So you might be in standard release. Many organizations are in standard release and may have to wait a little bit for this. But it's here and I have tested it. And what you do is when you edit a page, you click to add a new section. And then you can choose in that section panel property. There's a new toggle button called Make this section collapsible. So when you enable that and you add some web parts into that section and you save the page, you will see an arrow that you can click on to open or collapse that section. The next news is one of my absolute favorites, and it's a small one, but something that I have waited for a long time. You can now delete a page directly from the page details panel. And this is so great. You know, when you add a new page or a news post and you no longer want it, so you wish to delete it, then you have to go into site contents and go into site pages library, find the page, and then delete it from there. A long way to delete a page. Now, you will find a link on the page details button. You know, when you are on a page and you click on that page details button, so you open that panel, you have a delete option stand out to delete the page, which is awesome. There are also new options to edit the URL, and you can copy a link to the page you are on. Small changes that makes big differences. SharePoint image tags. Have you used the built-in column tags in an image library in SharePoint? It is a read-only column that will automatically add tags when you upload images. For instance, if you upload an image with a person standing in front of a whiteboard, you will get tags like person, indoor, whiteboard, and similar. But you have not been able to edit those columns before so that you can add your own tags. But soon you will be able to do that. I hope it would add tags like facial recognition, location, object recognition, and so on, so you don't have to add those tags manually all the time. And if you are already using the tags column, don't worry, it will not be removed. It will be replaced by this new image column so that you can edit it. SharePoint News Boost. With News Boost, you will be able to prioritize important news and announcements at the top of the news feeds. We do have a similar function today when you can edit the news web part, and then you can drag news in a specific order, so you kind of pin them to the news feed. But it will be simpler with this new news post thing, where you can just click on the page details button, and in the panel you will have a new section called Boost, where you can set the toggle button to on to boost the news post. And you can also set the duration for how long you want that news post to be boosted for the users. And that is something that you don't have in that news web part, where you can promote news or kind of more pin news. You can also set the news post order within this new Boost section, and it will get like a little lightning icon on it, and it will not send notifications, but important news will be more visible in the news feeds. And you can only boost news posts on organizational news sites, so not on your team site or any other communication sites. But this news boost thing is good. But I still miss a notification for news, similar to the one you get in the SharePoint mobile app. And that is something that the customers often ask for, if they can send out a notification for extra important news from within SharePoint. You can, of course, promote the news while putting the news post into Yammer, and then those users who have Yammer notifications enabled would receive a notification, obviously. And you could also like send an email with the news inside. I know it's in the roadmap with a SharePoint Auto News Digest that sends automated mail to employees about the latest news post that they have not yet read. And that could be a good complement. Otherwise, it is using the SharePoint mobile app or Yammer, where you can push out notifications to your users. New icons in SharePoint on Teams connected sites. Now, when you visit a site that is connected to a Teams team, you will see a Teams icon logo next to the site title. And you will also have a Go to Channel button in the Document Library command bar. This helps users understand that the connection is to a Teams team, and also make it clear that the site is connected to a Teams team. If you have a private channel in a Teams team, then the site will show a label for this also next to the site title. And on the private channel's SharePoint site, there will be a link in the left-hand side to that parent site, which is great because these private channel sites has been a little bit in the dark unless you go to them from that Teams private channel. But now you will see that it has a parent site connected. Also in SharePoint Admin Center, there will be new Teams columns in the active sites view. So there will be a column in the created from that will show the apps that we use to create sites. And there will be a new Teams column that will show with the Teams icon what sites are connected to Teams. And in addition, you will have a new built-in view called Sites Connected to Teams, which just lists all the sites in your organization that are connected to Teams. And these are great additions also, so it makes more clear what sites are connected to Teams in that view. SharePoint and Teams templates. I'm still waiting for that new SharePoint site templates page to show up in my tenant when creating a new site, but still no sign of those. I really look forward to try this new feature and see what value they will bring. In the meantime, over in Teams, when you click to create a new team now, you will get an option to select from a number of templates for different purposes. You can also add your own Teams templates, And the admins can do this from the Teams admin center. So I added my own Teams template and gave it a name, selected what channels the team should contain, if there are any apps that should be included, what tabs and customizations on those you would like to have, and more. And when the user then clicks to add a new team in Teams, they will see this organization template in there. Very smooth and smart way to work more efficiently in Teams. So now we move over to some Teams news. Edit a SharePoint page or a news post directly from Teams. So you will be able to pin SharePoint pages or news posts to a Teams channel, and you can make edits to those pages without leaving Teams. So I look forward to changes like this where you can work smoothly. You don't have to jump between the apps all the time to make changes. Chat bubbles in Teams. You know when you're in a meeting and you see that a number appearing on the chat icon up in Teams, you have to click on that and open that chat panel to see what people have written. Now there will pop up a chat window when meetings members are writing in the chat during the meeting. And that is so smooth that you can see directly what someone is writing without having to click on that panel. And I don't think things like this are disturbing. I like notifications in the window like this, so you can just click on that and just answer the chat right back. And I guess this will be easier for those who are presenting also to keep track on who is chatting during the meeting. You can also pin your favorite chats in Teams, so you don't have to scroll through that long list of chats that you get quite fast after having using Teams for a while now. The same as you can do with the channel that you can pin in the Teams tab. Meeting recordings will be saved in OneDrive and SharePoint. So as of now, you are saving your meeting recordings in Stream, but this is moving over to OneDrive and SharePoint so that you can have your Teams meetings saved in there, which also means that you can save these recordings with sensitivity labels on. You can share them, of course, externally if you would like to do that. So you will get all those features of just how you save any other document or file or content in SharePoint and OneDrive. And just a few ones that are on the roadmap that I look forward to. So you can have video filters on. This is great. I mean, if we sit in a room with maybe bad lighting, then you will be able, before you join the meeting, to set a filter to adjust lighting levels and smooth out facial features to customize your appearance. I want to have bunny ears on. I saw this hilarious YouTube video where it was an online meeting now during the pandemic, where there was some judges that had a meeting, and there were like four screens showing, and one of the judges had a cat filter on because his kids had turned on the cat filter on the camera and he couldn't shut it off. So when he talked, it was like a cat face and with a mouth moving. It's hilarious. I have to add a link to that video. It's so funny. You know, like when you're talking about something so serious and your face is like a cat with a mouth moving. Oh, it's funny just to think about it. Okay, but that could be fun. We love those filters. Bring them on, Teams. Yeah, good work. Okay, this was everything for today. I hope you enjoyed my true crime story. Let's see if there will be any more in the future, but this is still a tech podcast, and that will cover Microsoft news and my own experiences from working with these products daily. I hope you have a great summer still and enjoy your vacations wherever you are, and hope to hear from you. Take care. Cheers. If you like our podcast, we will be so happy if you will spread the episode in social media and please rate us in iTunes or Podcaster. It is super easy to rate us, but it means a lot for us as we can reach more listeners. If you have any feedback, questions or guest suggestions, send us an email on witgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm SharePointBabe and Christina is Bananisen. And our website is witgirlspodcast.com. You can also find us on Instagram under witgirlspod. All our podcast episodes are found on any podcast platform by searching for WIT Girls. Please subscribe if you like us so you don't miss out on any new shows. The music theme is created by Michael Weissvlog. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers!